Good afternoon. If you would, take your songbooks and turn to 244. 244. Let's sing the first, second, fourth verse of 244. Then we'll ask you to bring, have our opening prayer for class. 244.
Time is filled with swift transition. Not a who can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. God's unchanging hand. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. When your journey is trembling, if to God you have been true, the home in glory, your enraptured soul will view. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
Father, we come to you this afternoon at midweek. Father, we're thankful we have this chance to be able to gather together. We're thankful that each of us is able to be here, to take this time to study your word. There's some of the other things that are going on, other things that we could be distracted by. Father, we're thankful for each other, for having like-minded Christians, that we can take time to study your word, to be able to express ourselves and ask questions and try to learn more about you. We pray that each of us, we came here with an open mind this evening, that we'll be seeking just to see what we can get from your word, and not bring our own thoughts to try and bend around. We pray for our teachers, Father, that they'll have a good recollection of the material they've prepared for. We pray for our students as well, Father, that they'll be eager and attentive, ready to learn, so that all these things may be done ultimately to expand your kingdom. We pray for those who aren't able to be with us. We have many who are away from us traveling. We pray that the next appointed meeting time is to be ours, that they would be able to join us at that time. Likewise, Father, we do have some members who are facing health challenges, ongoing things of various sorts. We pray that your healing hand might be upon them, that they could have a portion of health, that it is your will, that they could continue to participate in the work here. We have a great many endeavors, Father, that are going on in this congregation, the radio show, the television programs, the correspondence courses, the bulletins, all these other efforts that are known and unknown as we seek to reach the lost, Father. We pray for them. We pray that there are open hearts in this community. There are people who are eagerly seeking you so that we might be put in touch with them. We can take those opportunities to spread your word, to represent you well. We pray that that might spark an interest in them so that they could prayerfully also become children of yours. For this class in this hour, and for all of us here, these things we ask in your Son's name.
Amen. Amen. Hebrews 11, guys. Good to see everyone out. We've got a good crowd tonight. It's nice to know that we have a full house, even though we have a lot of people gone. So that's always kind of great to see. Thanks to Mark for filling in last Wednesday. I know you guys are in Hebrews 11, and so we're going to try to pick up where we left off or thereabouts. We can do a little bit of review and whatnot from there. I think what I'd like to do tonight, because it kind of ties in with the theme of all that we've been discussing last week and the week before, I would like for us to turn quickly over to the book of James, fourth chapter, James chapter 4. Let's go to the middle. Keith, if you wouldn't mind, the second chapter, we're going to start in verse 14. And can you take about four or five, let me see, there's 26. Between you and Carrie, can you finish up that chapter? Why don't you go down to about verse 19, and then Carrie can finish it up.
James chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble.
But do you want to know, O foolish man, what faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
Okay, guys, there's a statement that was that actually Carrie read, two words that are found about 18 times in Hebrews chapter 11. What are those two words? But in Hebrews 11.
By faith.
Okay. So we have by faith. And when we talk about this by faith concept, what did James chapter 2 bring out about that? When we're talking about by faith, what does James 2 tell us?
The result in works.
Okay. And so when we're talking about by faith, you do certain things, we're seeing the connection there with works. Now, what's interesting is when you had by faith found in the James 2 text, what did it say? The only time in James where it says you're saved by faith, it mentioned another word.
Not?
Yeah, it mentioned not saved by faith only. Faith only is that concept, that doctrine that's taught out there in this world. And I always tell people, well, yeah, faith only is taught, but it says not by faith only. But see, we're reading, and you've been studying, and you talked about it last week, example after example after example of how these great men of faith demonstrated it. They did things by faith. And if they just had faith only, what would we have in Hebrews chapter 11?
A very short chapter.
They would be a bunch of people that did nothing. Nothing was accomplished. Okay? So let's look at a few of these things that we have been discussing. Was it around 23, 24, 25, Mark?
28,
29, you go back. Yeah, 28, 29, that's what I thought. Okay, I have it marked in my other Bible. Okay, so we were talking about Moses. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible, and we know who that is, God. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And who destroyed the firstborn? God. Okay. And so, again, we're noticing the emphasis there that they're thinking about God within all of this. And then, of course, verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned.
covenant.
Let's talk a little bit about that for a moment. Getting them going through the waters. They went through the waters by faith. The Egyptians were also going through the water, were they not? For a time period? Okay, so what's the difference? The first one, well, they walked through, and here comes the Egyptians, and they're walking through. What's the difference?
Well, they didn't have faith in God. They were just chasing.
Okay.
Yeah, vengeance. Yeah, that's
Egypt. What else is a big difference?
One was with God and one wasn't.
And as a result?
The water fell on the Egyptians.
Yeah. You have success on one hand, and you don't have success on the other. The difference in walking by faith, and that's what you and I learned through all of this. Now, they're using some tangible things here that we can talk about. But you and I could end up losing our life, but we're still walking by faith. And he actually talks about it later on this chapter, these people that were sawn asunder, these people that were actually suffered for doing what was right because they kept their eye on the mark. But we're noticing here that walking by faith means it brings success. Now, not the success in the eyes of people, mostly, although we're seeing it here. People heard about what happened with the Egyptians, and that was great. So what I want to ask you guys is that if faith got them to the other side, how so? I mean, God, you know, Moses, they parted the waters. What kind of faith does that take? What? I mean, I'm trying to figure out the difference between what the Egyptians did and what the Israelites did. They're going through there. Moses parts the water. Okay, let's go. And that's basically what the Egyptian already said. Okay, let's go. I want to know what the difference is. We say one has faith and one doesn't. We got to learn how we measure whether we have faith or not. DJ?
I might be wrong, but it sounds like
there's no question that they were the enemies of God. Okay. But when I look at the Israelites and what they did is they did exactly what God commanded them to do. And I think when we always talk about the concept of faith, and we're going to do this throughout the rest of this chapter, where's faith come from, guys? Is that different from the Old Testament to the New? No, it's the same, right? Faith comes by hearing God's word. And that's what it took. It took them relying on God that they weren't going to be consumed by the waters when they went down in there. Of course, the Egyptians are thinking that's not going to happen. But it did happen to them. The difference was one trusted in God, whereas the others didn't. Victory, failure. That's what helps you not in.
Well, I just thought that the Egyptians did because they saw that they went through fine and they were, I mean, I don't think that they had any faith at all.
They did.
They just saw that the children of Israel went through just fine, so we'll just go after them. They were.
Well, I think the way I always looked at it is, and just think about this, the Israelites, something was happening that hadn't happened before, and they were trusting in God to go through this for the first time. The Egyptians saw him going through, but their faith really relied back on their Pharaoh, who was commanding them to go through. So they weren't, there was nothing to do with God. It was all about just obeying what Pharaoh told them to do.
I agree. Dan, what were you going to say?
Not too far off. I mean, you know, very literally, you had the Hebrews who were following their faith. They were following God, in effect, whereas the Egyptians were following them, chasing them.
There is a great lesson in there, isn't there, guys? I mean, I had not thought about that before. But what the Egyptians are doing is they're actually going in there keeping their eye on the Hebrew brethren. They did it. We can do it. I'm just following them. Whereas they're following God. They're walking by sight. They're not walking by faith. And you know what? That can happen here. People can come in here and just see you and do exactly what you do, right, in worship. But just because they do what you do in worship, are they right with God? Do they have faith? Well, no, not necessarily. And to me, it's a perfect parallel. We can say
that. Well, I was just going to say that. I think that can happen a lot with parents and children. Because if you don't teach your children to have their own faith in God, they can just do what mom and dad do up to a point, and they don't ever really establish that faith in God. they don't learn, they don't, you know, they don't, you know, they're not taught. And eventually when the time comes and they're put in trials, they fall away.
That's exactly right. I don't think I was toying with that. I'm preaching on it, but I probably won't, but this Sunday. But I've been thinking about that because really, if we focus and look at our children by saying, you know, they literally are the church of tomorrow. How strong is the church going to be, as Keith talked about, if they don't establish their own faith, if they don't learn from what we're talking about here, of walking by faith, having their own faith, church that won't have a leg to stand on if they don't have that. So we want to instill that within them. That's why we have classes, and we as parents imparting to our children that, no, it's not something we're just filling time with. We're going to go and worship God today. He's real. Now let's continue on. So we have Carrie Reed, so we're up to Chanel. Chanel, let's read a few of these, guys. Let's go from verse 30. You guys can read three verses apiece. Let's go 30 through the end of the chapter. Okay, let's see if we can get through the chapter. Maybe we won't. Three apiece.
Hebrews 11,
start in verse 30.
By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and of the prophets.
Who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of the lion, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to fight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refused to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life.
And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword, they went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts, mountains, caves, and holes in the ground.
And all of these having obtained a good testimony through faith did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us.
Okay, guys. Did you guys see what was going on in this chapter as we were reading? He's going to mention some more people who had this great faith, who walked by faith. But in the process, and we'll come back and talk about them in a little bit, but in writing to these Hebrew brethren on trying to build them up and help them to stay strong and make the right choices, what are some positive things he said about these people who walked by faith? What are some positives he mentioned?
Well, some escaped the edge of the sword.
Yeah. What else?
Were made strong.
Stop the mouth of lions. Look what we have here, guys. I want you to see what he's doing. Look what's happened here. Quench the violence of fire. Gained valiant in battle. Turned flights of armies of the aliens. Made them run. I mean, you're talking about, look at all these great things that happened. But this is what makes the Word of God so interesting. And I just say, you know, man is not going to come up with writing something like this. Not only did he do that to try to help the Hebrew brethren, what else did he come back with then?
The negative.
What was it, Keith? What were some of those things?
Scourgings, mockings, torture, stone, sawn in two.
But what did he say was positive about those things? Anything positive come out of that?
Gained approval.
They held steadfast. They were faithful, even though that happened. So yeah, let's talk about all the good that they accomplished. Let's talk about some of the bad things that happened to them. But even then, they stood firm in the end. And so you can just see the Hebrew brethren here, what they're, you know, what he's wanting them to learn is learn from these people of the past. You know, you guys are going to be, you've been tried. That's what we read in previous chapters. Don't quit now. Don't throw in the towel. Look where you've come. You know, some of you were suffering because of what other people stood for. And you stood with them. That's great, brethren. Keep it up. This is a chapter, guys, that every one of us need to read from time to time when you feel a little down, feel a little discouraged, feel like you want to turn and throw in the towel. It's just hard. Hey, easy living a Christian life? Does somebody here have it easier than others? Come on, does somebody here have it easier than others?
Maybe.
We think that, though. That's the problem, Keith. I think there are times, I wish I was them. I wish I had their life. They don't have the struggles that I have. Oh, I guess Satan's leaving me alone. He's just working on you. That's not the way it works. Dave.
Like they had on the whole armor of God.
That's what he wants them to have, to stay faithful to the end. Let's back up and look at a few more of these things, guys. Because when we get to verse 1 of chapter 12, we're going to talk about these great cloud of witnesses. And so, he mentions the walls of Jericho. What was so great about faith during that, guys?
You had to do it every day for a week.
What was so hard about that? Why would faith be required now?
Well, because like for the first 6 days and the first six times on the seventh day, nothing happened. And so, you know, you're doing the same thing over and over again. And it's kind of parallel to here. We can keep doing the same thing over and over again. But until you see why you're doing it, or, you know, for us, it's not until we get to heaven, we're not going to get that reward. But they had to keep doing it. They stopped doing it. The walls weren't going to fall.
Well, and it made no sense, too, because walking around the walls wouldn't make the walls fall down in the natural world. You know, this just walking around it, what are you guys doing? But they knew the end result.
So what did it require then to go ahead and do that? And that's the key, guys. What, you know, when we talk about putting faith in God, but what that entails, it means I'm not here to question Him. I am not here to doubt Him. But see, that's what happens sometimes when we lack faith. We start doubting. We start asking questions. Or not ask questions are fine, but questioning God. His wisdom. Like, I know more than Him. And this is just dumb. This just doesn't make any sense. That's the difference. And that's what makes us different from the religious realm, because we're not trying to rationalize things. We don't try to rationalize instrumental music. If you want to rationalize instrumental music, what are you going to come up with? What will you come up with if you're going to rationalize? Sounds good. Doesn't say not to. What's the harm? You see what I'm saying? We're still saying it. You can rationalize all you want. But see, when you walk by faith, that means you just do what you're told. You understand that God's ways are what's best. And that's what it means to walk by faith. If I'm questioning Him and doubting Him, that's not walking by faith. That's why we need a chapter like this. We need the gospel, is to remind ourselves of that, because that's what gets us in trouble. How many times have you heard me preach from this pulpit? Well, you've heard me preach that people don't have a problem with what's said. They have a problem with what it's said. They get it. They read it. They understand it. I've never talked with anybody who disagrees with me when I show them what the passage is on baptism. They don't disagree. What do they say?
Why?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you trying to tell me that baptism is necessary for salvation? I don't accept that. You have one? You got to watch scratching your head. You know? don't go to an option. So, Mark.
Kind of thinking out of the box on the walls of Jericho. We got to remember this is the first test of that generation, because the ones that doubted the spies are no longer. Only Joshua and Caleb were the only two left out of that group. Those 20 or below. So this is their first test, really, in God. They saw the crossing of the Jordan River. Okay. But this is their first test. I think God has given them to say, hey, are you going to do what I tell you this time? And the other thing amazing is people in Jericho knew about the children of Israel from the Red Sea 40 some odd years prior. So that is still running.
Exactly. And I like talking about that. No, we're not finishing the chapter. But I like talking about that story of Jericho, because I think somebody mentioned earlier, maybe Keith, that what are the people of Jericho going to think? You know, and sometimes we do that in our faith. And, you know, I'll do what God. You know what people are going to think? You know what people think if I dress that way? You know what people say if I don't do those things? Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the Peter passage. They're going to think it's strange that you don't run with them with the same flood of dissipation. They're just going to think you're odd. They're strange. And if we spend more time worrying about what other people think rather than what God says, we're in trouble. These are the things, guys, that helps you and I today walk by faith. It's easy for me to stand up here and preach this stuff. It's hard to practice. I have not mastered this, but I am learning the formula. I'm learning how to have a great faith. I'm learning how to get through this world walking by faith, and not by faith only, and not just by works. How would just works fit into this story? If they're thinking just works. Yeah, they're just thinking, okay, we'll walk around this, but sooner or later, we got to attack these guys. Okay, we got to just go in there and make some ladders or something. Now, if you're going to think that you're going to do this, and that's why I love the fact that he brought up Gideon. What do you love about this story? What did God say? Lest you think you did it on your own, what did God do? You're taking how many? 300 men. Because I don't want you thinking you did this on your own. And I tell you, we need those kind of things in our lives to help us say, you know what, we didn't do it on our own. And so those hardships are good, guys. Hardships are good. And I even think about the building. We didn't do that on our own. It was a hardship. And it just made me trust in God. And so when I think about the walls of Jericho and then encircling them, it was driving home these Hebrew brethren. They knew the story. And then, of course, he brings up the faith of the harlot Rahab. And she didn't perish. James even talks about it. What'd she do? Old Testament history, guys. What'd she do?
She's fine from getting caught.
Why did she do that, Mallory?
Because she knew they were God's people.
That's it? You know, we might think, you know, of all people, why her? But, you know, it's kind of like, I believe in this. Warren?
Well, didn't she, I'm working off memory, so she, okay. Didn't she also talk to the men like, she knew their history. She knew what they had done. She knew that what they had accomplished couldn't have been done without God.
Well, I think Keith mentioned that they'd already been familiar, somebody had mentioned that they had already been familiar with what happened. Oh, Mark mentioned. There's humility right there. Doesn't take credit for it. When they crossed the waters, yeah, that word spreads like wildfire. And you're right, Warren. That's exactly right. So she knew those things. Now, again, she believed in something that the majority of the people there did not believe in. Again, it's when I read about all these guys, I mean, wow, we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. I guess they outnumbered the unbelievers, huh? No, that's the thing that we need to understand. They were always the minority. They were standing by themselves. Okay, we're saying, well, there were a lot of Israelites walking around there. Well, that's true. But the point is, God's people are always the minority. And it takes a lot of faith. A duh statement. It takes a lot of faith. Duh. But that's true. And if we're going to consider ourselves to be faithful, by the way, guys, you need to have faith. You need to be walking by faith. And I don't mean kind of like the Egyptians who said, well, there they are, we can go in there. The water's there, we see the water on the side, we'll just go through. And I'll just follow along, I'll just go along. But really, as Keith brought up earlier, I really don't have faith. It's sand. There's no solid foundation for me. And that's the challenge for us, guys. And I'll tell you something else. Since it was brought up earlier about worrying about our children, sometimes it's hard to pass it on to the next generation if you're not standing on solid ground. How do you do that? How do you point your children in the right direction if you're not there? I always felt it strange when I was a part of the denomination when we had the bus ministry. And I remember being picked up as a kid. But it was like the parents wanted you to go. Go to church. Good for you to go to church. You know, you're kind of like, like, why aren't you going? You know, it's like, it's no wonder people struggle with this when they get older. Because what happens is that vicious cycle is then now they shove their kids off because my parents shoved me off. But I'm not going because they didn't go. So it's just a vicious circle.
Aren't you really talking about two things that are kind of interconnected? You're talking about obedience, you're talking about respect. The obedience is hard to get if they they don't have the respect. And what you're talking about is you're turning around looking and they're not doing it. Why should I do it?
Yeah.
So, not, there are no magic formulas.
No.
Now, raising children's not, but if they learn to obey you at an early age, you have gained a lot of ground. But then when they get old and let them know the difference, the respect comes together in the love. It has to be all tied together.
It does, Warren. But I say at the point that we just need to be driving on, I don't think parents can do more than an example. I mean, I'm not saying they can't do anything else, but their example is huge in all of this. Kids can know. I think they can pick up on godly parents. They just pick up on that. And that.